The U.S. Interior Department announces a plan to develop Utah tar sands. A sweetheart deal could end up saving Salt Lake County millions of dollars. And the University of Utah begins an investigation into their swim team. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Brian Grimmett. U.S. Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar has announced a plan to encourage oil shale and tar sands development in the Mountain West. The Bureau of Land Management released its final plan Friday to develop and test technologies to extract these fossil fuels in Utah, Colorado, and Wyoming. But the citizen group Utah Tar Sands Resistance says this move will endanger the environment and public health. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The plan would make almost 700,000 acres available for potential oil shale leasing and about 130,000 acres available for potential tar sands leasing. Utah Tar Sands Resistance spokesperson Rafael Cordray says the environmental effects of this type of fossil fuel extraction are still unknown, particularly on air and water.
They even say, you know, some of this stuff is unknown. So to put in a plan in place and say, well, we don't really know how this is going to affect the water, it's a bad plan. It's not a complete plan, and it doesn't consider all the impacts.
But Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar said in a statement that the plan focuses on research and development so the BLM can collect more information about the potential effects on landscape, especially scarce water resources in the West. Companies would be allowed to lease BLM land commercially only after meeting certain conditions, including clean air and water requirements. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A deal made more than 30 years ago between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Salt Lake County could end up saving taxpayers millions of dollars. In 1964, the LDS Church leased the land where Abravanel Hall and the northern part of the Salt Palace Convention Center now sit to Salt Lake County for $1 a year for 50 years. Over time, the contract was modified, and in 1984, the two sides struck a deal that would allow the county to purchase the land for its fair market value in 1984 plus interest, a total that now adds up to slightly more than $6 million. The catch? They have to purchase the land by November of 2016. Salt Lake County Council Chair Steve DeBry says while he doesn't have all the information, he thinks it's a no-brainer.
It just makes sense to me if we can get ground that our structures are sitting on for $6 million and the ground's worth between $20 and $25 million, I think that's pretty elementary. Anyone could say that that's a good deal and we ought to do it.
DeBry says that they could pay for it with unused bond money issued in 2010 to construct a new office for the district attorney.
We're renegotiating some issues there with the mayor and with the council and the district attorney and looking at some different alternatives there. So it's put us behind, but we have to start drawing down on those bonds before we're really ready to go with the DA's building.
The Salt Lake County Council has not given a timeline for when they will discuss the issue, and it is not on any of the upcoming meeting agendas. Besides purchasing the land, there are several other options available to the council, including renegotiating the terms of the current lease.
Earlier this month, University of Utah President David Pershing appointed two independent attorneys to investigate a number of allegations concerning the school's swimming program. Specifically at issue is the conduct of former coach Greg Winslow, who, among other things, is accused of showing up at practice intoxicated and on one occasion punching an assistant coach. Pershing met with members of the swim team yesterday to inform them that the investigation is formally underway. Keith Sterling is the communications director at the University of Utah. He says President Pershing is confident the investigation will provide some answers about incidents involving Winslow and how the university responded to those concerns.
We'll take a very, very complete look at everything that allegedly took place, how it was communicated to the university, how the university responded, and most importantly, what we can do in the future to make sure that the swim program continues to succeed.
Sterling says there is no specific timeline for the investigation to be completed, but he hopes it will be done within 30 days. The weekend fatality of a West Jordan man will become an unplanned topic at the State School and Institutional Trust Lands Administration board meeting this Thursday. 22-year-old Kyle Stocking died Sunday following a rope swing accident from Corona Arch, which is located on Sitla land. Kim Christie is the deputy director of the administration, which owns 3.4 million acres in Utah. He offered condolences to the family and friends of Stocking. He says Sitla tries to find the right balance of control of the land while keeping its use unrestricted.
We operate these in such a way that we recognize that outdoor recreation has its own inherent risks, and therefore people come at their own risk. And so, unfortunately, these circumstances sometimes present themselves, and it's a very sad thing. We're certainly not happy about it.
Christie says restrictions have been put on commercial use of the site specifically for swinging off the arch. Lieutenant Kim Neal of the Grand County Sheriff's Office is assisting with the ongoing investigation of that accident. He says there's an apparent miscalculation of the proper length of the rope used.
Where he had attached himself to the swing rope was not high enough on the rope, and in the process he struck the ground as he was swinging.
Neal says you can't stress safety enough with these types of outdoor activities.
A backcountry skier was lucky to survive an avalanche that dragged him down Mount Superior near Snowbird Resort. The Utah Avalanche Center says the man set off an 18-inch deep avalanche yesterday from the top of the 11,000-foot mountain. He slid 1,700 vertical feet down the mountain. A local survey of volunteer and professional leaders with the Boy Scouts of America shows an overwhelming percentage of scout leaders in the Salt Lake City area are opposed to an end to the organization's ban on gays. The Great Salt Lake Council says its survey of 4,700 troop leaders found 83% against lifting the ban and 48% say they would quit if the ban were lifted. There were two rallies in support of gay marriage last night along the Wasatch Front. The Deseret News reports more than 200 supporters filled the plaza at Salt Lake City's main library. A group of students in Provo led their own vigil at the Provo City Justice Court in support of the LGBT community, including prayers and singing of the national anthem. Utah Governor Gary Herbert has signed legislation that requires the state to collect more information about abortions. An annual report will include the number of abortions performed, how far along the pregnancy was when the abortion was performed, and the race and ethnicity of women undergoing the procedure. And finally, a 4th District judge has rejected much of the state's legal reasoning defending a 2010 law that restricts public access to rivers crossing private land. The Salt Lake Tribune reports Judge Derek Pullen ruled the public trust doctrine protects recreational use of public waters, and the case is likely to end up in the Utah Supreme Court. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, March 26th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.